No one really knows Ron Van Dam. He's an enigma wrapped in a mystery, cloaked in secrets, stuffed in between two pieces of French toast encased in a pancake, smothered in cheese and deep fried until golden brown, then duct taped into a rusty toolbox, packed into a used Amazon shipping container with gaffer's tape, and mailed overnight to a bunker in Siberia where it's kept in a locked vault, whose combination is known only to a mute priest with a bad memory. So yeah, he's sort of a keeps-to-himself kind of guy. You're listening to that man of mystery, Ron Van Dam, on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
No, don't touch that.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
If you're going to listen to this program, keep your hands to yourself, please. Hey, welcome to the show. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. It's a show. I'm showing you things. It is a display. I'm displaying things to you. Get it. You don't have to slap me in the face with a theme song. I get it. You've got one. Very nice. Do you have a theme song? No, it's not the song that you keep singing in your head. That's not a theme song. This is a theme song. Okay. How are you? Welcome to the show. It's hump day. Yeah, whatever. It's the middle of the week. Oh my God. There's as much to the rest of the week as there was the beginning of it. That's kind of the hump middle thing. I don't know. I guess we're getting over the hump. Is that where that comes from? Come on, stop it. Stop with these stupid phrases made up by humans. Just say it's the middle of the week. Don't call it hump day. Come on. Grow up. What are you, a child? What are you, 2 years old? Just say what you mean and stop with the silly words and the... come on. Am I showing great disdain? Sure. How are you? This is the only talk show that really cares how you are, or at least says that they do. Of course I don't. I don't know who you are. And that's the beauty of our relationship. Shouldn't all relationships be like that? The excitement of not knowing who you're with? I miss that. In a way I do, in a way I don't. Anyway, how are you? Good to see you. Oh, did you? Wow. You brushed your teeth. Yeah, nice. Okay. Couple of things going on today, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. I live in Massachusetts. I don't need any applause for that. It's okay. Not a big deal. I know where you live, but fine. Good for you. We all have to live somewhere, right? That's what they say. I live in Massachusetts, and just a few days ago, they legalized online gambling. Well, I just laugh. I'm seriously, I laugh. It's embarrassing. I've seen probably in the past week about 5,000 commercials for gambling. Kevin Hart is in all of them. I don't know what the deal is with Kevin Hart. Now he's doing commercials for everything. I guess the shorter you are, the more commercials you do. I don't know how that works. But he does for one of these companies. There's like three or four companies here that are offering gambling, and there have been scratch tickets and keno, they call it. And I mean, you can go to the casino. I mean, you know, there's The gambling has been around, but now here's the difference. They've allowed in Massachusetts sports betting. Now, see, that was illegal before. You couldn't bet on sports. Now you can. So I guess the inference there is that a whole new world has opened up for people that have gambling addictions. I don't understand this. I just don't. On every single commercial and in every single circumstance, whether it be in print or commercial or whatever, there is a thing at the bottom of the screen, and it's not in small print, and it says, if you have a gambling problem, call this number. It's an addiction. You're a horrible person. So as we're watching people jumping around being excited about gambling like it's the best thing since Swiss cheese, if you like Swiss cheese, gambling, oh boy, oh boy, that's what the commercial is about. Oh, you can gamble everywhere now. Gamble, gamble, gamble. Take your money and put it on stuff and see if you can win. Gamble, gamble, gamble. And the bottom of the screen, if you have gambling is a horrible thing if you have gambling addiction. I mean, that makes me laugh. If you know that it's so addictive that it can destroy you, both psychologically and financially, then why you? I'm going to promote something that is horrible for you. Oh, okay, that's the American way. Let me get you excited. Let me talk you into doing something that will probably destroy you, and you're going to need help, as indicated at the bottom of the television screen. Is there any wonder that I'm confused and upset about the silliest things that we do? I don't think you can. I just don't know. It saddens me that as the economy's fine. It always seems to be fine. But as interest rates go up, prices of things go up, you're spending more money to exist, to have a place to live, to feed your family, to do anything, to go anywhere. It costs you more to do that than it did a year ago, a lot more. Not just by a little bit, but by a lot. What a perfect time to introduce gambling to the country and to various states. With the only way out is to take your money and gamble, and you do know that in most all cases you will lose. So I have a suggestion. Rather than gamble and throw your money away, why don't you just send it to me? I'll spend it. Your money will be going to a good cause, me. So, I mean, I can't solicit money on the air because I'm not allowed to, but in theory, why not? If you're going to throw your money away, come in this direction, babe. And you know why states do this, why the country has all these lotteries and stuff. It's not to embetter you financially. My God, you know that's not the case. It's to raise money. So the states have more money to play with. Country has more money to play with. I mean, money is money. You know, it costs money to do everything. We've got to raise money somehow. So let's take it out of the pockets of weak people. Let's take it out of the pockets of desperate people who need to make a buck somehow so they'll take the chance. Let's take that money. Because everybody that's been gambling so far is already gambling. You make it more accessible, you're going to pull in the people that are desperate as well. And that little thing at the bottom of the screen about gambling being dangerous and addictive, that's going to come into play for you. You know we have addictive personalities. The human being has an addictive personality. It's part of it. Everybody's addicted to something. Cigarettes, alcohol, sweets, candy, fried foods, sex. We're all addicted to something. It's who we are as a people. All right. That's one thing that I wanted to talk about that I'm just warning you. I mean, talk about medications, prescriptions, painkillers. I mean, there's a lot of addicted stuff out there. Let's keep adding to it. Make sure that our downfall is imminent. Here's something else that crossed my path. Half the country and the world has pre-diabetes, which means you don't have diabetes, but you could someday. There is a sugar replacement, a zero sugar replacement on the market. You've got to realize, as an intelligent human being, sugar, excessive sugar is bad for you. Excessive chemical sugar additives are bad for you. Everything in moderation. Or don't do it at all. But if you're going to do something, it's in moderation. Well, here's the... there's a sugar replacement called erythritol. I'm going to spell it because I can't pronounce these chemical names that they make up. Erythritol. You might want to write this down because it's significant. I believe it's erythritol. Erythritol. Sounds like something they can do in a lab, and that's where they do it. This is used to add bulk or sweeten stevia. Stevia, the plant, natural plant sugar thing, isn't even good enough. They have to add this shit to it to make it even better. Monk fruit and keto-reduced sugar products use this erythritol. It has been linked to a blood clotting, stroke, heart attack, and death, according to a new study. That is not worth the sugar, as far as I'm concerned. The degree of the risk is not a modest one. That says the head study author, Dr. Stanley Hazen, we all know him, director of the Center for Cardiovascular Diagnostics and Prevention at the Cleveland Clinic Lerner Research Institute. Try to fit that on a business card. The study, of which there have been many, by the way, with a similar, if not right on the money, type of diagnosis. These sugar additives, zero sugars, not only can cause them, they are pretty much guaranteed to cause them. And again, every once in a while, I guess you can get away with it. If you're having zero sugar stuff every day and a few times a day, like with your Coca-Cola and all that diet stuff, and you got the added sugars, you could be on the road to something really bad. People with existing risk factors for heart disease, which means everybody, such as diabetes, were twice as likely to experience a heart attack or stroke if they had the highest levels of erythritol in their blood, according to the study. That's probably not good. If your blood level of erythritol was in the 25% compared to the bottom 25%, the top 25% compared to the bottom 25%, there was about a twofold higher risk for heart attack and stroke. Well, that makes sense mathematically. It's on a par with the strongest of cardiac risk factors like diabetes. Blood clots are... A lot of people go bye-bye with that stuff. Blood clots can break off and travel to the heart. And that's where your heart attack goes. Or it can go to the brain, triggering a stroke. Am I scaring you? This is supposed to cause an alarm, according to the studies. There appears to be a clotting risk from using this erythritol. Obviously, more research is needed, but an abundance of caution is thrown out there to limit erythritol in your diet for now. That's what people use to cut calories, to cut down on sugar. That's the answer. It's one of the most widely used lab-generated sugar substitutes. And this is the warning that they're putting out. So I just thought I would pass that on to you. I don't think there are too many people listening to this show. That's not the end of this sentence, wise guy. There aren't too many people listening to the show that don't have sugar substitutes, that don't drink a Diet Coke, or I don't know what Diet Coke has in it, but I'm telling you, all these artificial sweeteners. This warning goes out especially to the young people, because you have an entire lifetime to develop cancer and blood clots. You know, if you're just getting into sweeteners the past decade or two, whatever, right? But if you're young and you're going to, this is going to be like so much a part of your diet that it's a part of you, that's a problem. And the problem is we don't know how this is going to ultimately affect us until it does. I've used this example so many times, smoking cigarettes. We thought it was wonderful. Everybody did it. Uh-oh. Then they found it didn't, and people started dying with lung cancer when they got older. I say the same thing. I'll repeat this again because it's so much worth repeating because I am a soothsayer. Cell phones. I don't think I'll be around, but someday, within the next 2-3 decades, maybe even 4, I don't doubt there'll be a study that comes out that says all that cell phone use, you are cooked, my friend. You better stop using cell phone now. But you can't. Our entire society in the entire world on the globe is hooked to cell phones. It is a necessary thing. Most people can't leave the house without them. Most people cannot go somewhere without checking in on them. It's an epidemic. And the cell phones are probably going to prove to be so harmful to you, it's not funny. Because I can't believe that there are gigantic towers beaming signals through the air to your device that you have right near or on your person. I can't believe that that is harmless. Of course, the industry says, oh, it's harmless. Of course they say that. What if they didn't? Can you imagine the uproar? I can't imagine. It's unfathomable. And the third thing that can destroy your life would be social media. I'm not talking about the internet necessarily. That has some positive aspects to it, I suppose, as well as some incredible evil viral viruses. That word is used so much, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. But social media, oh my God, it has changed society and the world to the point where kids are committing suicide, going into deep depressions of feeling not. I think it was created so that we could all feel like we belonged, but the end result is now we're all feeling like, to certain aspects, we don't belong. It's a slap in the face that's getting a little bit harder and your cheeks are turning red. It's a place where people can go to spawn conspiracies, to recruit cults, and for the Chinese government to, who controls TikTok, to gather all kinds of information about Americans in such an easy, convenient fashion for them. So, put it all together, it spells mama. All right, that's about it. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will continue this thing. I have an interesting guest coming up in just a moment.
Give the gift that says, I love you. The gift that says, happy birthday. The gift that says, get well soon. The gift that says, you're the reason I went into the priesthood. The gift that says, congratulations on not getting indicted. The gift that says, I want to cover you in warm chocolate pudding. The gift that says, good luck in clown college. The gift that says, thanks for removing my unsightly wart. The gift that says, sorry about giving you food poisoning. The gift that says, I'll see you in hell. The gift that says, remember the good times we had in prison. The gift that says, I want to make sweet love to you on the white sand beaches of Rio while your hot cousin watches. The gift that says, thank you for the kidney. The gift that says, you deserve all the best, but this will have to do. The gift that says, thanks, Jesus. Whatever you want to say, you can say it beautifully with a timeless gift from Phyllis Gorman's House of Macaroni Art on Route 94 just past the Rotary, across from Sweaty Palmer's Adult Emporium.
Nizar Ibrahim joins us now, and we're talking about something that a lot of kids and a lot of adults are fascinated with, and that's dinosaurs. It's just always brings us into it. He's a dinosaur expert. Thanks for being with us today, Nizar.
Thanks for having me.
What is it about dinosaurs that keeps us like so hooked into this subject matter when dinosaurs aren't even here?
Well, I think that's part of their appeal, right? When we look at fossils, we see these incredible, ghosts from deep geological time. Mm-hmm. And, our imagination runs wild, right? Because we see these incredible towering skeletons. So that's certainly part of their appeal. Mm-hmm. And, they're like real-life dragons.
Yes, in a way they are. Are they related to birds? I've heard controversy on that.
Well, that's a good point. And I was going to mention that when you said, well, they're not around anymore. The thing is, when we think of dinosaurs, then, we think of extinction, right?
Yes.
But we now know that many dinosaurs were feathered. So you could see, if you look at images of Velociraptor, for example, mm-hmm. Accurate reconstructions would show Velociraptor with feathers. Other dinosaurs had feather-like integument. So we know that some dinosaurs were feathered. We know that dinosaurs share unique features mm-hmm. in their anatomy with birds. And we now know that birds are direct descendants of a group of small predatory dinosaurs. So scientifically speaking, we can absolutely say that birds are dinosaurs.
Wow.
They're not just kind of related to dinosaurs, they are dinosaurs.
Wow.
And there are more bird species in the world today than there are mammal species. So in some ways, you could even say we're still kind of in an age of dinosaurs.
In a way, yeah. Now, but were dinosaurs mammals or cold-blooded, warm-blooded? Which were they?
Well, so dinosaurs are reptiles.
Uh-huh.
And so when we look at modern-day reptiles, we see very different kinds of animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see animals with a sprawling gait.
Right.
And they are, quote-unquote, cold-blooded.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with dinosaurs, we see that most of them have fully erect limbs, right, that
yes.
are stuck right under the body. We see very active animals, very agile animals. And we now know from a number of different lines of evidence that many dinosaurs were almost certainly warm-blooded
mm.
and had a very high metabolism, higher than that of many mammals and comparable to what we see in birds. Which again shouldn't come as a surprise because mm-hmm. we know that birds are dinosaurs and they are warm-blooded. So with dinosaurs, we were always kind of stuck there because we thought, well, they're reptiles,
right.
but birds are dinosaurs. So we've got
right.
both ends of the spectrum there.
Right.
We now think that many dinosaurs were warm-blooded. Some of them may not have been, but the predatory dinosaurs like T-Rex and Velociraptor and so on certainly were warm-blooded animals.
Yeah. It's fascinating how we're familiar with dinosaurs, but we know nothing about them as far as the legends are concerned. There are still people that think of the Flintstones where there were barbaric humans and cavemen, and then there were dinosaurs outside of the cave that's still like, I think the majority of people think that's the case. Do you find that to be true as well?
Well, it's a strange one. I mean, I think it's odd that someone would look at the Flintstones as a documentary film.
Well.
but it does happen. And the thing is, when you think of the timelines involved, here's something to blow your mind.
Yes.
So if you kind of look at the timeline and you look at dinosaurs from, say, the Jurassic, like the Stegosaurus, right, yes, with a big plate on its back, and then you look at the T-Rex from the very end of the Cretaceous, T-Rex is actually closer to us in time than it is to Stegosaurus, right?
Wow.
So when you think about these huge timescales involved, and of course, you know, the tens of millions of years have passed after the extinction of animals like T-Rex before humans enter the scene.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an odd, you know, it's kind of like merging all of prehistory into one slice of time, you have, you know, cavemen and dinosaurs. And it's a vast story, right? Because, you know, when we think of prehistory, we often have these kind of very vague ideas of you know, kind of primeval Earth, right? But the reality is that, you know, our planet is 4.6 billion years old. We, and 99.9% of all the organisms and all the ecosystems that ever existed are extinct, right?
Yes.
So, you know, the majority of life on Earth is really all the stuff that happened before we even appeared on the scene.
I don't think the mind can really conceive that tens of millions of years have passed since.
It's a bit like when you think about the size of our universe, right?
Yeah.
We can't really wrap our heads around that either. Yeah.
And the dinosaurs existed for millions of years, and we haven't been around all that long ourselves.
Yeah, we're not doing too well, I think, Rob.
Okay, well, there's the bottom line. And I think I kind of knew
that. Yeah, we can learn a thing or two from the dinosaurs, I think. When someone digs up our fossils, our time on planet Earth is not...
Yeah.
Success story, I think.
It's probably going to be a little pinhead of everything else. Okay. There is actually, there's another line of books coming out. Nat Geo Kids does a lot of these types of books, and another one's come out on the dinosaurs, I understand.
Yeah, they have lots of amazing books on dinosaurs. And when I say amazing, I say that because I was a scientific consultant for several of them. And they're great books. I just finished work on a book on T-Rex. There's a book on dinosaur records. There's lots of amazing topics to explore. And that's really the best starting point, I think, for kids. I mean, that's how my interest in dinosaurs started, right? Started with a book.
Yeah.
And I think, that's really the best thing you can do if you want to nourish, your kids' interest in all things prehistoric.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I think it also helps a person understand the timeline of existence of things on this planet. I think that's also an important way of introducing that as well. Wow.
I think that's important for kids and adults, right? Because it teaches us some humility, right?
Yeah.
I think we always believe that we're super special and important, but then when you look at the bigger picture and the grand scheme of things, then, you know, you realize we're not really that big a deal.
Well, I mean, we can be amazed at valleys and chasms that are carved out over the centuries, but to find a dinosaur bone that's millions of years old, geez, I mean... That's got to blow your mind.
It does. Every time I find a fossil, it's a magical moment, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're looking at something that nobody else has ever seen before.
Yes.
And it's just, it allows me to become a real-life time traveler, right? So, you know, it doesn't have to be a dinosaur fossil. So, for example, here's one thing that I think is always amazing. You know, I do a lot of fieldwork in the Sahara Desert. One of the driest, most inhospitable places you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm out there, I find giant fish scales. And those fish scales tell me that this place was full of water at some point, right? It was a river system.
Yes.
And that's just incredible, right? To just, you know, and then in your mind, you really can travel back in time.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm amazed that there's a grocery store where there's a McDonald's used to be. I still can't get over that. Okay. So I guess things change. All right. How do we get a hold of the book? And is there a website where we can follow this?
Sure. One of the best places to start would be on kids.nationalgeographic.com/animal/prehistoric. You can find out more about the latest discoveries. You can find out more about Dinomania. And you can find out more, most importantly, about the incredible range of books on dinosaurs they have. So that's really your go-to place for all things dinosaurs.
Beautiful. Nizar, thank you so much for your time today. It's been fascinating. We appreciate it. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, ooh, I wish you peace.